pray for them. They are here this morning. And I'll come to the backside after they show up. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And if you have a King James Bible, you're welcome to read with us. If you don't have one, look change. No. If you don't have this, you've got to be alone with it. Let's stand and turn to chapter 1 of Romans, and we're going to begin reading the first 16 through the end of the chapter. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on. Remember this here. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold truth and unrighteousness.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath chosen unto them.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things.
Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
For this cause, God gave them up unto vile afflictions, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet.
And even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers,
backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents,
without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful.
Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to gather with believers, the opportunity to preach one more time the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that are here. You know the need in every heart and soul. And I ask that your Holy Spirit touch and move upon us. Seek us out. Bring us into the middle of your will. Bless our lives. Change our lives. Hear our prayer. Father, I ask you to bless this meeting. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. To where you really understand. You really do. wrote these things. And he didn't write them at the same time as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He wrote them much later. He already had Matthew, Mark, and Luke write them. And he writes it. He says, if you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing you might have life through his name. Well, what we've got in Romans is the greatest intellectual mind I've ever come across, the Apostle Paul. I mean, this guy, some of his sentences are 7 or 8 verses long. But he understands it. And he's making it clear. The gospel just spreads out. When I first got saved, I started reading the Bible at the first book, Genesis. I went through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and I got saved. But I don't advise people to do that. That's not the good way. You want to understand the Bible? Read the Gospel of John about 5 or 10 times, and the book of Romans about 5 or 10 times. You'll get a picture of what God's trying to show you. Great, absolutely great book. And I, in the last 60 years, I don't know how many times I've preached on verse 16. See, look at this. I want you to see some things here. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. What is their purpose? The Bible tells us one soul is worth more than the world. You may be thrilled by the idea of winning the lottery. It's ridiculous, but man, when I got saved, I won the eternal lottery. I mean, God Almighty changed my life, forgave my sin, turned me around, showed me how to live. What a blessing! What a blessing! And by the grace of God, I'm still here. The junkyard dog, young issue. You know, junkyard dogs are a little tougher than others. I don't like that. I'm not ashamed. Now, we sometimes get in difficult places to witness. Maybe try to meet the doctor, or you meet somebody else, or you meet some stranger, or somebody that's close to the family, or whatever, so you're going to watch yourself. And you're a little bit hesitant about talking to them. I was with a new doctor, actually. I got so many doctors in me that this will be a doctor. I'm glad they don't have lawyers. I'm sorry. But doctors and lawyers will break you. I was in my new doctor. He retiring. Well, this one was an Indian man. His name is Tabai Tabai. He said, just call me Dr. T. I like that. So, he is American design. There was any problem at all, then he went to Alamo Heights and graduated from Alamo Heights over there. Spoke English big as me. Young man. And he had to examine me, told me what he wanted to tell me, and then he had a new nurse practitioner there. And he said, Mr. Kincaid, you're 80 years old. What advice would you like to give this new nurse practitioner now? Whoa. I said, the best advice in what I've been giving for 60 years is trust Christ in your Savior.
Amen.
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 I think I shot the bull. I don't think they were not expecting that. You know? But that's what they got. And I don't know if they'll ever see me again. We will see how that all works out. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. It did something for me.
Amen.
Are you telling me you're saved and he didn't change you? You claim salvation and the Spirit of God has come into your heart, and there is no change. There's no praise to God. There's no joy in being forgiven. I love your Isaiah, brother. Very good. I had never used more. The way you view the Old Testament is amazing. I'm thankful for you because you would like I don't, but I like it. saved my soul at 20 years old. He changed my life. He gave my wife a new husband, my kids a new father.
Yes.
He gave me a new direction. Wow.
Yes.
And I'm still in that same direction. It ain't all pretty easy. Everything ain't gone smooth. But let me tell you what. I walk in the joy that most of this world does not even know. Is that wonderful? Let Jesus become the Lord of your life. Let Him direct your heart. Why don't you let the Bible teach you how to raise children?
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like today everything the Bible says, somebody's attacking you. You don't think you know what you're doing. I didn't know what I was doing, but I raised five. By the grace of God, they still like me. They still come around and let me feed them. Amen?
Amen?
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Now that's the good news. That's the good news. Not the good news that you've got to be good. That's what a lot of churches teach. How are you doing with that? Is it working out real well for you? You know what I found out? I'm not good. I thought I was far all right. Man, I was in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico, flying the atomic bomb, going over to, in the Cold War and whatever, like those great big planes. I loved it. You know something? I thought I was 7 foot tall and bulletproof. And then a buddy of mine died. Got blew up, burned up with gas. It woke me up. You can die. You know what I thought? Where am I going to go? I thought, well, you know, I'm not that bad. I just thank the Lord and my dad, and I'm good. And my wife, you know. And can you start to have this balance in your mind? Brother Steve talks about it too when he's here in Mission Time. You got this balance. And I think my goodness outweighs. I'm not as bad as. Uh-huh. I'm not as bad as. But wait a minute, I'm not good either. It's not that. You know what the Ten Commandments do? That is not a pattern for life to please God. That is a thing to bring conviction to your heart that you're a sinner and need a
saint.
I've heard people tell me they live by the two commandments of Jesus. Love God supremely, love your neighbor yourself. How about all of you that do that? Just raise your hand. You lying so-and-so. You don't do that. I bought me a car a while back. I didn't buy you one, did I? I don't love you as much as I love me. You know what those verses are for? To make you understand that you are a self-centered sinner.
Amen.
Amen, homie.
Amen.
Wow. You know what? Sinners need the gospel.
Right.
Yeah. I have talked to people door by door throughout my years, and people I knew, friendly people, that aren't sinners. They're not sinners. I had a lady that I was talking to her, and she freely admitted that when she wanted to, she slept with whoever she dated. But she wasn't a sinner. I said, but you see, God, you look at the thing. You look at it one way, God looks at it another way. God calls you a fornicator. You're not married, you have sex, you're a fornicator. You say, oh, that's old-fashioned lingo.
No, it's not today.
It is up today. It's good for today. I want you to know what this book has to say will change your life if you'll learn it.
The gospel of Christ.
The gospel of Christ is only for sinners. If you're not a sinner, you don't have a pardon. Can you admit I'm a sinner?
Yes.
I knew I was a sinner.
Yes.
I knew I was a sinner. I just thought I wasn't as bad as a lot of sinners on me. And that's true. I bet you might be the best fellow in your life.
Is that going to make a difference when you walk before the judge and see about it?
No. It's not going to help you. So what? You're better than Al Capone. You're better than Hitler. Wonderful. gospel of Jesus Christ is to bring salvation to sinners. Jesus made the statement that I did not come to call the righteous. Some people said, well, why was he born in the stable? Why was he born over there in the temple? Why was he born into the among the priesthood? Because they were all a bunch of wretched sinners. They weren't prepared for him. But he said, I'm not ashamed of that God. I know I let the Lord down. I still let the Lord down. I don't do things as I ought to do. Everything doesn't come out just exactly right for me. I don't know about it for you. But I'm one of the happiest old men you ever met in your life. My sins are gone. They're forgiven. I am not righteous except in the given righteousness of Jesus Christ before the throne of God. I'm not better than you. I probably read the Bible more than you, and I probably witnessed more people than you, knocked on more doors, passed out more tracts, and preached more sermons. I'm still a sinner. I'm just somebody who cannot live up to God's purpose. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you're a sinner above everybody else. I'm saying you are a sinner. You need the gospel. Now, the gospel is the good news that Christ died in your place. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he will save your soul, anybody. Brother Danny was talking about how all these people are wicked and whatever, and God's got that hand out there, yet his hand is still out there today for you. Still out there for you. Wow. The gospel of Christ, that's such a beautiful thing. It's not something to be bored with. It's not something that you can ignore. It's the greatest good news this world has ever seen, and the world needs it. For you. I'm thankful I'm American. I'm born here in Texas. I'm a farm. I'm countryside. You know that. Not a problem. I don't apologize for it. I'm sort of proud of it. Agile, mobile, hostile. I understand. I'm a little hard to take sometimes. But that's just some of my background. The way I was raised and the things I thought about and what I thought was valuable and whatever. You know, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner that found the sin.
Yeah.
And I'd like to tell about it to everybody. It's so, we got a mission to be right here. We got some of our missionaries going back, and praise the Lord, we said we had you do our mission conference. And we love you. But I tell you what, we got 1,400,000 in this town, not counting the little cities. Wow. They're probably going to be about twice that in just a very short amount of time. All those Yankees are getting tired of that snow and ice. Amen. They won't go down there, a place where you have to sweat while you mow your lawn. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not either. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that works real good. To everyone that tries hard. To everyone that's sincere.
That's not what it says.
That is not the gospel. I don't care how many times it's preached or written or thought about. That is not the gospel. It's to everyone that believeth.
Amen. Amen.
Power of God.
What kind of power is that?
The power of changes? Well, one day, God changed me.
Amen.
It's going to be 60 years the very time he's up in. I mean, he changed me. You been changed?
Amen.
And if you haven't had some change in your life, you haven't met Jesus. He put a change on my life. I had religion. I understood. I was well educated. I was understood. He changed the way I think about everything. He changed the way I think about God. He changed the way I think about myself. He changed the way I thought about my wife and my kids.
Humanity
changed. And the gospel will change you. And some of you in here today just maybe,
as lost to me. And your one heartbeat right out of hell right now. You need the gospel. That's why I'm not ashamed of it.
It's done so much for me, how could I not be proud of it? Be thankful that I heard the message and that I responded to the message and somebody loved me enough to talk to me. Somebody loved me enough to pray for me.
And then by the grace of God, He brought that change.
Now, that's for everybody. Everyone. And still not for the blacks or just for the whites or for the Chinese or for the Mexicans, the Hispanics, the whatever we have here. You know.
It's everyone.
Anybody. You know, D.L. Moody had a saying. He was a great preacher. Had very little education, but he was a great preacher. And your problem when you read some of Moody's sermons today is they cleaned them up. They've gotten perfect English style. He didn't speak perfectly. Bless your heart. You know what he's saying? He said, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address.
Right.
I was knocking on the door. I'd like to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a deacon. I said, well, are you saved? What do you mean, I'm a deacon? I said, yeah, but deacons can be lost, and you need to be saved.
Yeah.
Brent was doing that, and he ran up on a preacher. Brent was 19. He was skinny as a rake.
Goodness.
If you turn sideways, some man looks like a zipper. And that 19-year-old was knocking on doors, and he talked to this preacher. The guy said, well, I'm a pastor. He said, yeah, but are you saved? Oh, he was insulted. And so he called me. And I answered the phone, and he said, do you know a man named Whitrigg? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, he just insulted me. I said, well, I'm very sorry, but how did he insult you? He asked me if I was saved. I told him I was a preacher, and he still asked me if I was saved. I said, well, are we saved? I know a lot of preachers going to be in hell. grow patient and patient and patient of stupid little and then when you get on a computer, you hit this one button and go, whoo! You know what's inside of you? Recently discovered, 20 years ago, DNA. That's your code. Do you think DNA came from an explosion of nothing that was in it?
No.
Doesn't make sense, does it? Not to me. You say, well, I'm an intelligent man. They thought, I didn't believe it when I was lost.
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
I'm here because somebody made me. I have an expression. I'm sort of crude and rude sometimes, but I have an expression sometimes when I hear something, I'll say, this dumbest jerk. But you know, actually, jerk's not that dumb.
Right.
He brought some corn in it, and he dies. The water comes along, and the rain falls over here to the stalk, and you got 1,100 pieces of corn. The girl's dream. You know, dirt was this. Linda, my little girl, had two big rough boy you saw home over there. You see, I know I have sympathy for you. You know what I'm saying? She, my little girl, would walk out in the front yard and get into the little garden and eat dirt. I was worried about it. I said, cousin, now what's she going to catch? You know, well, I hope he's dealing with tomorrow. He took her to the doctor. He said, you probably need to.
Sometimes.
God says it. You know what he's saying about him? This is a devastating chapter to anybody that doesn't believe. Because he said, I am clearly seen by the things I made. How can you see what has been made, the intricacy of it, the complication of it, the greatness of it? He said it's clearly seen. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Here's Paul's proof. You do God. You believe in God. You know who made that God made that. Why does no man do that? I think all things in my life. I'm not all that good in most of the stuff. But I made a few things. And so is our friend. God made all of this. And he made it all to go. That ought to be enough to convince you. You may not know which God. You may not know his name. You may say, but all the gods in the world, how could you pick? You know? To know there's a God. A great creative God. All you gotta do is look around. Or you're distrusting what you see.
Yeah.
Well, here it is in the Bible, and the Apostle Paul is making this as clear as can be. God is known by the things he made. And what ought you to know about God by the things he's made?
Notice it says something.
The creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood now by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Wow! You know what you can see? Take a look around here in the world. Take a look around inside this room. Take a look on television and look at the Grand Canyon or the General Sherman tree. How many things were made, and they were made by God that you could clearly see?
He's a God. That's so much more intelligent, so much more.
Wow.
Y'all look up, you know what we
ask? Y'all walk out sometimes and say, God, go down there to close. Go down and quarter rounds out there and watch those waves come rolling in. Just rolling in. They've been doing them all my life. All of my life, those waves have been rolling. And over and over and over and over and over again, I never get tired of looking at them. God made them. Now he says here, they are without excuse. Look at verse 20 and the last phrase of verse 20. They are without excuse. Who? Everybody that's seen the world that God has made is without excuse.
That's right.
You gotta believe in God. Oh, we got people that don't. Let's look at verse 21. They're without excuse, and why are they without excuse? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Here's two things that is a very result of somebody looking at it and not appreciating it. They didn't glorify God. God said, I put it out there. The psalmist David says, you know, clearly seen, the glory of God is clearly seen in the creation of the world and the stars and all that. You have to say, there has to be one big superman. We had a family reunion and we went to the coast, close to Houston, and a bullfight went into them. I'd never been there before in my life. We were in a big house we rented for 4 days, and it was unusual. It wasn't built by the average builder. It was built by somebody who knew what he was doing and liked to use for us. There was a sheetrock on the wall with all boards. Great big board beams. They were cut precisely, beautifully. Around the bottom, some little thing like that right there. It's a new board. Corner out, angled. And whatever. I was just fascinated by 4 days there watching somebody knew a builder. Somebody. And it stretched over
lost. Big error. I think we can sleep 15. You know what that house is? Guess what we do?
A builder! A builder that built different than anybody else. I have never seen a house quite like that, and I was impressed at the wood that he used. It's a little rough cut. That's all right, man. You're not going to put your arm through that sheetrock. No sheetrock in the place. Boards everywhere. Two stories, three stories. Three lots. Wow! Somebody paid money to get somebody to build a house a different way than all of us have.
I've never seen one exactly like that. I was impressed. You know what? When I look at the world, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. And DNA, that's your code.
Linda talked me into it, so I've got it coming. Evidently, she might have already got it, but I haven't got it. She told me I was Scotch, Irish, and Dutch. I wasn't Indian, and I wasn't whatever. But I have no idea. I think most of my parents and grandparents and whatever were outlaws.
Without excuse, not only did they not glorify God,
let me tell you another thing. And that's what this world is out here trying to push on everyone that's educated. They were not thankful. What's this? Not thankful. They didn't glorify him. They didn't thank him. And you know what that makes me do? It says in the last part of verse 21, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing himself to be wise, they became foolish. Over the years, I've talked to many educated people, and I've talked to many atheists and agnostics. I have a little respect for the agnostic. He says, I don't know. I have no respect for any atheist. I don't care if he's the highest scientist in the world. Any man that will make a statement that there is no God with all the proof around here, and he's got no proof that there isn't one, is an idiot.
Yes, he is.
I don't care how many degrees you hang on the back of his name. I don't care how many books he's written. Look at what it says right here. They were not thankful. And so they became vain in their imagination, and they became the smartest thing they'd ever met.
Yeah, that's what Moses did.
He says, there is no God. I'm the smartest thing on
earth. Well, I've been made fun of. I got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree from college and law school for years. But you know, an atheist says, you want to know the Christian? You want to know the Bible from it? You want to know the weak people who need the crutch?
Yeah, I would like a real kind of crutch. I would like a real kind of crutch.
It's a person. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You're saying 14 billion years ago, nothing, did nothing, and it exploded into everything?
That's not very reasonable.
Yeah.
It's not intelligent. Professing themselves to be wise. You know the problem with a lot of us, I taught school for years, and you know there were some kids that were really smart. And there were just some kids who thought they were smart. Now we probably have all grown up and we're all sitting in here today. Some of us are smart, and some of us just think we're smart. And a fellow that thinks he's smart when he's not is what?
A fool.
God's one said it. I mean, Apostle Paul, he said, hey man, professing himself to be wise, we're smarter than that Bible.
Yeah, they're raising kids right now, according to Dr. Spock and all his children here. That have printed all these books on how to raise a human. I heard a statement come down from the government office in this town. Don't tell your children no. You cannot tell this child no. That's the first thing you better tell him.
Yeah.
And spank his little box if he doesn't do it. That's why God.
became food. Look at verse 24. Let me go back to verse 23. Who changed the glory of the incorruptible God unto an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up. You know, you really don't want that verse to apply to you.
No.
You really don't want, there's three times I'm going to read it right here. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over. Don't be too smart. Don't be so smart to think you're smarter than God. You're smarter than anybody that believes in God. You know why they don't like it? Judgment. That's what comes to the end of the chapter. Judgment. They don't want a God that's going to tell them they were wrong. They don't want a God that wants to tell them that what they want to do in their pleasure is sin. They don't want a God that says, when you do this, you're going to pay for it later.
Yeah.
You know why most people over 40 are conservative? It's because they live long enough to live with the results of their sins. That makes you even more conservative. Yeah, it sounds like great fun, free sex, homosexuality. Do what you please. America's the land of the free. That's not what the Bible says.
Right.
What?
It's not what our experience is teaching us.
Right.
Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. A man. How many gods there have been? How many people think they're a God?
Oh,
corruptible man. Birds. It's in those Egyptian birds carved and other stuff over there. They worship the bird. Four-footed beast. They got all the arms to make them a cow. Wow. Isn't that intelligent? Creepy things. How about snakes? Would you want to call a snake your god? What it says here, hey, I mean, it's happening straight. So God gave them up to what? Uncleanness. Through the lust of their hearts. The dishonor of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave them up, okay? You want to worship that man? Worship him. You want to worship that snake? You know that snake is a good representation of me? Worship him. You know, God will let you do what you want to do. God is not impolite at all. I'm much more impolite than God. God does not force himself upon you. You know, in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door of the mouth. If any man will hear my voice, I will come. What if you don't hear his voice? What if you don't want to hear his voice? He won't come. You're not going to force him. You're not going to force this whole world. But it's clear, the greatness of God, the creation of God, the majesty of God, so many good things he's given us. Every time you enjoy a meal, you ought to thank God.
Amen.
Everything you eat came from him. Every time you enjoy pleasure, in a marriage, in a relationship, in love, that's from God. The Bible says God wants us to be filled with joy.
Well,
sin takes away a lot of joy, doesn't it? Oh, it's a whole lot of fun. Oh, it's just great. It's like drugs or like premarital sex and sex and dating and all that. Oh, we're having such a great time and we're grown up and we're not held back by a bunch of inhibitions. Wait about 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
Chickens come home to roost, bless your heart.
Yeah.
And what we have today is a bunch of children being raised by children.
Right.
And if you don't have discipline in your house and you don't put discipline into your children, you are doing them the greatest disservice you can do.
Right.
If they can't control themselves, what are they going to do? Sooner or later, society. society will control it. Or they'll be running cars into groups of people that are over it. God gave him up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to the desire of their own bodies between themselves. Is there anyone in this room that thinks homosexuality is natural?
It's not natural.
It goes against nature.
That's right, man.
What does nature teach? Male and female.
Yeah.
And all of us boys, we go crazy over girls. And girls go crazy over being wanted. But then we're actually caught. Then they're not as crazy over. Who gave them up? Uncleanness, lust of their own heart, dishonor their own body between themselves. And look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. In verse 26. But it's because God gave them up under the vile affection. Change the natural use. Excuse me. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You think your great blessings come out of homosexuality the way they do? I don't think so. I think it's a real sad mistake. And likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, partnering their lust one for another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And you want to have a practicing homosexual as a pastor? They are. There are. Right this state, there are. What it says here. At verse 28, even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know what they're doing? They're trying to get rid of God. They don't even think about God. I've always thought, they made a statement of soldiers that there were no atheists in Boston. I think there's some truth in that. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? That is wasted. That is wicked. That is vile. That is reprehensible. It's against nature. Reprobate mind. These are all things we shouldn't get to read. Now look at the list. I was amazed as we were reading. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whispering, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. We were sure to, through knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do. What is the list? That is the list. Knowing the judgment of God. The biggest reason why people want you are all powerful, righteous God out of their mind is they don't want to face future death. But I don't think there's anything you can do about that. Everybody's headed for that judgment. Unless you've been judged already. Of course, Jesus Christ did. Look at chapter 10. At the end of verse 8, it says, the word of faith which we preach. What are we preaching? We preach to join the church, be baptized, turn over and you leave. That's not what we're preaching. It's the word of faith. You're saved by faith, you're not saved by works. You're saved by faith, you're not saved by being good. You're saved by believing. That's faith. The word of faith which we preach. And what is that? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the strongest in the English language. Thou shalt. be saved.
For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. As the scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed.
Whoever serves him, or whosoever. That is my word.
Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's the gospel.
Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christ died for you. Christ paid the debt of your sins. There is no glory to you. There is no credit to you that you are righteous in Christ. All the glory, all the credit goes to Jesus. To God. That Godhead. That thought this up. It didn't come out of any human mind. It's too big for that. Compare all the religions of the world. They all have you do this and you get in. You're righteous and you get in. You're sinless and you get in.
No, 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 no. Nobody's in that category but Jesus Christ.
You in it?
Oh, talk to me about finances. I'll tell you you're not in it.
You might too if you wake up. Take a look at yourself. You are not ready for heaven. You cannot walk into the face of God. You have no go-between because there's only one mediator.
I'm married, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think Mary was a sweet young lady. I think she turned into a wonderful mother and wife. But Mary was not sinless.
Jesus Christ is sinless.
Amen.
And he's the only Savior and the only name whereby you can walk into the presence of this eternal, powerful God.
He died in the middle.
Amen.
And he simply said, believe on me. Believe what I'm telling you. Believe I died in your life and those who believe with joy. And I say your soul, you will have to have to live. I got to pray something, thank you for it. If it were not so, he said, I'll go. That's a beautiful verse.
Yes.
In John chapter 14. That little phrase in that verse is just staggering
in its implications in my thinking and in my reading of the Bible.
If it were not so, I would have prepared my inventory.
If it were not so,
I would have known. There are no patterns in glory there. Everybody ever got a religion.
Amen.
You say, well, how can God do this? How can he
do anything he wants to do?
You know, Mr. Wilson, a very sharp while back, the greatest mind in the world, thought that our galaxy, and the Milky Way, was heaven. It was all of us. You know what they're doing now? It's just a little, picky little galaxy on the far side of the universe, and it's still expanding. And these guys with minds like that can't believe the Bible. God gave them more. The best thing he does to your wife. How about me? How smart are you?
Yeah.
Well, you're too smart to be in the world. You're too strong, you won't be in trouble. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a doctor. You're that human. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. You're just like me. This body is wearing out. And worst thing I found out that I ever caught is holding me. That is absolutely the worst disease I think I've ever got in the world. And you know what it did? Might be a 9, might be 10 years from now. I don't
care. Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter. I'm like the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I like to be Christ. There it is.
Oh,
but right now I gotta hang around you. You pray for me. I don't feel like Paul.
Wow! Wow! Oh, would you believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was?
Yeah.
Can your faith be stretched to that point to say, I know who God is? Everybody ought to know a God creator.
I know who God is.
It is the best way. It is the only practical way of salvation in all the religions of the world. I read a lot of books. I've been digging this stuff for 60 years. Tell you something. Every other plan of salvation proposed by man in all of history and in all the world today has the flaw that man is the flaw. His sin is the flaw. His weakness is the flaw. The gospel doesn't have the flaw. So you know what? You come to God, not in your strength. You come to God admitting your sin. You don't think you're sinning? After what I read in this chapter, none of that touches you, none of that fits you. He reads the Ten Commandments and says, I know them! I know them! Well, how about number one?
There you go.
How about number one? How about God? The first four commandments are about God. How about the last six? You don't even love your wife as much as you love yourself. And bless your heart, sweet lady, you don't love your husband as much as you love yourself. And you kids, young kids, middle school. And then I say, oh, how's York doing? How's that from? She didn't love him more than she loved herself. She said, I'm making a big mistake if I marry this bum. I had one beautiful little girl, bless her heart, she was sweet. She was a straight-A student, beautiful girl, already had a farm and everything like that. She was a beautiful woman. In the eighth grade, and she's dating the biggest thug in the school. This idiot would not keep a job at McDonald's. And I tried to tell her, you're going to end up with three babies, and he can't support himself. Oh, he's so cool. Oh, he's so happy. Oh, such a good choice. Yeah. Right. A couple weeks later, I said, I'll get with you and so-and-so. That comes. Am I telling the truth? Are we getting any honesty here? You live where a sun comes up every morning and blasts you with sunshine and makes the grass to grow and the food to grow and the leaves to come out and beauty to come out everywhere. Have you ever just sat down in front of the general sermon tree out there in California? Ooh, that is one tree. They tell me some of those trees were saplings in the days of Abraham. Goodness gracious! That's just one of God's toothpicks. That great big thing! Can you not look at this world and say, I should be thankful? They ought to be thankful. I ought to glorify God. What am I glorifying myself for? What am I glorifying man for? What am I glorifying for? Even this country for? I ought to be glorifying God. Believe me. There is a God. He created this world. He walked into life. You will not live. Hell, he didn't make everything about this one little blue ball out in that vast universe turn at the right speed at the right angle. And just keep going in a perpetual motion. That's God.
Yes.
That's God. What do you need to do to be free with God? You need to believe that Jesus Christ found the only way to be saved by Him dying in the grave. I'm going to walk through the streets of the Lord. Not because I've been good or I've been preaching the gospel or I'm just better on the faith. No, I'm going to walk through because He clothed me in His righteousness. And when I walk up to the doors of glory, God's going to look at me and say, welcome, son. Because I'm dressed up just like you. Amen. I don't have any righteousness of my own. All of mine are filthy rags. But I have righteousness of the Son. One meeting in God. Just one. The priest of that one day, I can go into any jail in the country, and I can bring to the word murderers, rapists, sadists, that all. And I can tell them, on the basis of Let's turn to him. Let's go.